With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, you may have heard comedian Justine Stafford when she's been in on the Coffee Run talking about the show for her big TV format idea called The Great Irish Wake Off, because she reckons that we do the best wakes here in Ireland. Well, I might need to put her in touch with Clina Purcell in Waterford, because we didn't know this, but we actually have an entire museum in Ireland dedicated to wakes. And Clina is the head curator at Waterford Treasures, the home of the Irish Wake Museum, and she joins me on the line now. Good morning, Clina.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us because, as you might have heard me say, it's something that Justine Stafford talks about all the time, the Great Irish Wake Off, because...
Oh, yeah, it's so important, you know, the Irish Wake in Ireland.
Yeah, we do them better than anywhere else. But tell me about the Irish Wake Museum. Where is it exactly?
So I'll tell you what, we say it's in the dead centre of Waterford. It's a little bit of a pun, I hope you'll excuse it. But it's right smack dab in the centre of the historic city. So in what we call the Viking Triangle. And it's actually built on top of a historic graveyard. So it's, you know, really well placed for what it is.
I was going to say, you really and truly hit all the marks there, so you did. If I was to go to the Wake Museum, like in the morning, like in what way would I feel like I was at a wake? Is that how it's set up or what's the story?
Yeah, so we're kind of trying to capture both parts. So the lower floors are actually quite a traditional museum. So there you'll learn about, you know, the history of the Irish Wake, how far back we can trace those traditions, because you're going back, you know, thousands of years. Mm. But kind of the last step as part of your museum experience, we'll actually step you into our fully dressed wake room, essentially. So we have, the guides call her Auntie Nora, but she's a very realistic mannequin. And she's been laid out, you know, she's had a good life, but she's in bed. So you'll step into her bedroom and her parlour and sort of experience all of the traditions firsthand.
There's some interesting traditions as well that I didn't even realise. I mean, obviously you guys have, you know, the vintage bottles of Guinness, there's tins of biscuits, there's even a TV playing JFK's funeral. Is that
there
what's happening?
Indeed, yeah.
But something that I found incredibly interesting was the fact that all of the mirrors are covered. What's that about?
Yeah, so I suppose one of the really important steps in a traditional Irish wake was that once the, you know, person passed, the clocks would all be stopped at or as near as possible to the moment of death. And the window would be opened to allow the soul to pass out through the window and into the next life, essentially. So a really important step was covering the mirrors, because obviously to a spirit, a mirror is very like a window. And the risk was that they'd go into a mirror rather than out the window. And that's how you end up with a haunted house, or so people believe.
Yeah, see, we don't want that. You got to cover all bases. You got to make sure we're all good. What would have actually happened at a traditional wake?
I suppose what really sets the Irish wake apart, and since we opened, we've kind of been speaking to a lot of people, tourists and, you know, Irish people as well, about, you know, what a wake looked like in their locality. Yeah. And I think what sets the Irish apart is that, you know, obviously funerals are very sad, but the Irish wake is, it's almost a merry event, you know. The life is celebrated rather than the death being mourned.
Yeah.
So Irish wakes were sort of, you know, they were quite raucous events. You'd have a lot of, obviously, drinking, but you'd also have wake games, for instance. They would play cards, they would gamble. A hand of cards was always dealt to the corpse as well. So somebody would play on behalf of the corpse.
No, and there wasn't. Oh my God, that was
really
mad.
Funny to think of. They'd play mad practical jokes. You know, somebody would get under the bed and shake it so it looked like they were about to get up. And I know it sounds insane to us today, but, you know, they were sort of, they were these big community events, especially for young people, because this was kind of one of the only opportunities you would have to meet people your own age. And as a result, it really wasn't unusual, particularly in the countryside, for a wedding to follow a wake quite shortly afterwards.
Oh my God, this is absolutely brilliant. Sorry, I know that you're saying like all these things sound mad, but can't you just envision people in your life being those tricksters, like, you know, getting under a bed and shaking it and being like,
We've had people tell us that they would tie the hand of the corpse to the door handle. So when somebody opened the door to come in, the corpse would wave at them, you know. Just really sort of, I think today death is very clinical and people have a sort of sense of discomfort with it. And when somebody dies, you know, it's all very sort of ritualistic. But in the past, you know, it was so normal that people kind of had these little funny traditions with it.
Well, I do think it is the one thing that we actually do celebrate quite well is the wake. And you're so right. It isn't. We don't do it as in like a mourning. We do, obviously, but the mourning period follows for so long. But we do talk about the great times that you've had with that person. And I think it's always really important to hear the stories of their life that you would never have heard before.
Absolutely.
In terms of visitors, Clina, who does come to the Irish Wake Museum?
You know, when we opened it, we were kind of expecting that a lot of it would be domestic visitors, essentially Irish people, because, you know, a lot of those wake traditions are still alive, but some of them are not, and people are very interested in learning about that. But we've been really surprised at how many international visitors are so interested in the idea of the Irish wake. You know, obviously there's Irish-Americans, but in sort of pockets around Europe as well, there's quite similar traditions, and people are interested in sort of learning what they can about them. So, for instance, since we opened, we've learned that one of the most important aspects of the Irish wake going right back was what's known as keening. Have you ever heard of keening?
No, never.
So it was a ritual lament. So na mná cuinte would do this cuina, which was a kind of wailing and poetry over the corpse, essentially.
Okay.
And it was a really important part of it because it sort of signified how important this person was before they passed. But we've learned, you know, that they did that in Italy right up until the 90s. So we sort of are learning a lot more about how it sort of exists around Europe.
That's actually amazing, because you never, you know, we just think that everything we do is like our own and that no one else could. So yeah, we've got another connection with the Italians going on.
Me
there
too.
You mentioned at the very beginning that the house is set in the dead centre of Waterford and that it's on top of the Viking burial ground, but the museum itself, is the house is very special. Like, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, it's an incredible, I mean, the house itself is as much a star as the sort of contents of it. So the Wake Museum is set in a 15th century almshouse. Now, many people, I'm sure, listening at home do not really know what an almshouse is.
No.
They were known quite callously over time as God's waiting rooms, but they were essentially the precursor to a modern hospice.
Okay.
It was essentially where a person went to wait for their time to come. So this one was opened in 1478 in Waterford. And what's really special about the house is while it didn't remain an almshouse forever, it was occupied as a sort of a house itself right up until about 2004. So 6 centuries of occupancy in this little house. And you can really tell when you go in there that it's just got this incredible character.
I'd love to meet the families who lived in that house after it being an almshouse. You know,
yeah, we've had them in.
They've have
all,
you?
We've had a lot of them in, and they've told us incredible stories. Now, they've also told us incredible ghost stories.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
For sure. We had one lady actually, and obviously because it was a hospice, essentially, a lot of people would have died in this house. But one of the ladies was telling us that 3 of her children were born in the house. So, you know, the whole circle of life has happened in this building.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, we could probably get into this all day, Cliona, but you just mentioned ghost stories about the families living there. Like, do you feel like the place is haunted or, you know, visited by any ghosts in the past right there? Do you have any belief in that at all?
Hand on heart, I've never seen anything.
Okay.
But if you speak to the guides in the building, they will tell you a story.
Oh, I'd say they have some very interesting stories.
Yeah, they do, no, for sure. There's and some of the visitors as well have seen bits and pieces. You know, with a house that old, it's not unexpected, I suppose.
No, and I mean, there's, you know, Fido, there's loads of Irish folklore stories as well that kind of just become reality over time, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cliona, honestly, thank you so much for coming on this morning and telling us all about the Irish Wake Museum. If you want to know more, you can head on over to waterfordtreasures.com. Cliona, thanks so much. It was lovely to speak to you.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.